So, Hunter, you just used the word clarify. That made me think, if my name was Clara, every time I explained something to someone, I'd be like, clarified. Welcome to episode 85 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. My wife told me to tell everyone she says hi, which is a first, so that's nice. And I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am a pathological liar.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and my girlfriend told me to go have fun talking about nothing tonight.
Oh, that's not nice. That we talk about stuff, important issues.
That is fantastically devaluing. Hunter is kind of making my brain rot away into nothingness, because I'm wondering, would a pathological liar say, I am a pathological liar?
Maybe it's just a lie.
That would make you a pathological liar.
Being a pathological liar and all. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Maybe I prefer trails over paths. Can I be a trail-logical liar? Cricket. I'm going to take that as a no.
I don't know if we... Did we really want to go?
No.
Really?
No, we don't want to...
I mean, we can. I'm okay with it. If you want to do stuff.
I shouldn't even be podcasting. I shouldn't be a host.
I totally enjoy doing stuff.
Yeah. I enjoy doing stuff. I'm just terrible at it. That's what I do.
Well,
I'm good at a couple things. It's none of your business.
You could live free or die hard.
That's right. It's the fourth best Die Hard movie right there.
I like that one. I thought it was pretty good.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can't go wrong with Die Hard. Even the fourth best is still entertaining and worth the price of admission, in my opinion.
True. Did you guys know that the last Die Hard movie was actually the first Die Hard movie that was written to be a Die Hard movie?
Yes.
No, I did not know that.
Yes, the original was supposed to be a sequel to Commando.
Huh.
And the third one is a completely different movie. And they're like, if we have the Die Hard title, it'll sell more. John McClane, go in there.
Take John McClane and turn him into a suppository and stick it right up the movie.
Did you come up with that on your own, Hunter?
What, the suppository thing?
Yeah.
Actually, it comes from me and a bunch of friends back in the day. We used to do the 48-hour film festival, for any of those who are familiar with that. With the 48-hour film festival, it is as it sounds. You have 48 hours to make a movie. They give you a character, a plot, and a genre. So what we would do was we would pre-write scripts in ahead of time to kind of prepare, so we had more time to shoot and produce. And we always said we would take the genre or the character and, as a suppository, stick it right into the movie. To the point where it didn't even matter, because we had something completely different going on.
So that adequately explains that, definitely. Yeah, thanks.
Boom.
Yeah.
Storyteller.
Stories are great. Speaking of stories, have you guys played any, old video games lately? Jason?
I played Team Fortress.
You would?
The original Team Fortress.
Oh! Not the one you've put over 500 hours into.
Well, I'm at like 260. 4 hours.
Right. That's small stuff for you, Lamb.
Yeah. Still less than Andrew. But I went back, I decided to try the original one again. And it was old.
Yeah, tell us, how different is it? Is it like
it's somewhat generic. It was a military shooter. Like, it started as a Quake mod, so it's very a standard military shooter. Everyone looks like a military character. It lacks pretty much personality.
Hmm.
And it's a lot slower.
That makes it sound surprising that it got a sequel. Welcome back, Hunter.
Hey!
Showing two of you in the chat still.
That's all right.
Yeah, this is
just more
really...
me to love, baby.
Oh, there.
Second me is gone.
Did you just get to watch yourself die?
I did. Yeah. It's the scariest thing ever.
I don't think anyone else can see that, but that was cool. That was really interesting. A little glitch in the Matrix moment there.
So where did we leave off?
Jason just shared the most insightful comment on the origins of the first-person shooter genre I've ever heard. I mean, untold, deep-in-the-dirt kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've been doing my research.
And you missed it, so now it's your turn, Hunter. What have you been playing?
I don't believe any of that.
No, seriously. It's...
It was half true.
You can listen when you edit.
That's true. Yeah.
Do you have a recommendation for me from last episode?
I don't.
Damn it, Jason.
I have to keep looking.
Jason.
I can't take you anywhere.
You can't, except for Indiana.
Except for Indiana. At the Indianapolis PopCon.
Good segue.
Love Indianapolis.
There you go.
Go Colts.
Oh, like, is this for, like, really my turn?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, okay. Sitting over here screwing around. Streets of Rage 2?
Oh, that counts. Cool. Yes, that is an excellent game.
Totally.
That is indeed a game.
Played some Streets of Rage 2.
Is there anything more fun than calling the cops and watching them fire rocket launchers at your enemies? Let's be honest.
That's from Streets of Rage, not Streets of Rage 2.
Oh. Oof. Frick.
Really,
ouch.
Dude?
All
right. Credibility gone.
Really?
Poop.
Really?
I clearly didn't play enough Sega growing up. Sorry.
Clearly, you didn't, because Streets of Rage 2 is when they introduce Skate.
Yeah, okay. Now we're back to me remembering it. Yes, that one. Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Adam Hunter does not make an appearance, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly just for his name. I never played as him. But I guess they thought that two black characters and one beat him up was too much, so they had to go away with one of them. Doesn't make any sense to me. But
that is, yeah. Ugh.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. But I do play a Skate. Skate's my favorite. I like the ability to grab somebody, elbow them in the face, jump over the back, jump on their back, and then pummel them in their head.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I love
all the while on inline skates.
Yep. I think Skate, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I might really be reaching and stretching on this, I think he was one of the kind of the front runners for, how do I say this? By now, it's almost universally recognized that if you play a fighting game, you should always choose the little quick character over the enormous burly character, you know?
Right.
Like Street Fighter, Super Smash Bros., it doesn't matter. Choose the little quick character. It's just better. In the hands of a skilled player, it's going to win every time. I think Skate was one of the kind of the underappreciated
predecessor.
People to push that trend. Yeah, there's a good word I'm looking for that whole trend, I think, yeah. Skate has a totally important role in video game history.
Yeah, I could see the debate. I mean, that seems legit.
And before the 16-bit era, there wasn't much difference in fighting characters in the beat-em-ups. I mean,
no.
You play Double Dragon 2, can you tell the difference between Billy Lee and Jimmy Lee? No. Other than the colors.
Right, yeah. That's usually just the palette swap.
Yeah, I hate palette swaps.
Yeah.
It was something that you had to do.
Yeah, I understand that. They still do it to a degree today. Like, Smash Brothers, a lot of... It's just, okay, we put Wolf's model over Fox, and... It's a little different. The movesets are essentially the same.
But it's...
And you definitely don't need Wolf, Fox, and Falco all in one game.
I agree with that, actually. But
yeah, I agree with that, definitely.
I don't want to fanboy too hard, but I will say I think it's interesting when you have two characters that are really similar, but their little differences really create this divide. I mean, which flavor are you? Which one do you prefer? But to use up a whole character slot when you could just choose like two different modes of one character as some series do, I can see the merits. I mean, I hear you. I'll put it that way.
I don't know. Like, I think it's... Well, I mean, because it's kind of happening now with the new Smash Brothers. Because it's like you have Samus Aran, and then you have Zero Suit Samus. And it's like, I think it's great that they're adding more characters to the game. Like, and they're separating. Because it did seem like it was just a bit too much, even with Zelda and what was
Sheik.
Just a silly name. And I think also, that
in an early development interview, they did admit, they said, we're going to remove a bunch of characters. Like, we're going to streamline it. Kudos to them. I mean, we don't need three different versions of Link. We don't need Link, Toon Link, and Young Link. Like that was... What? Why are we... Now, if they had Link and Dark Link, that would be cool.
Whatever happened to Dark Link? Like, they forgot about him.
I think they're... Okay,
because like he was like the guy in Zelda 2. Yeah,
in two different games.
You know? Well, true. But even in Ocarina of Time, like he was, that was like the impending fight before you get to Ganon.
Well, no, they didn't build up the fight at all. It's a mini boss in the Water Temple. It's not even the main boss of the Water Temple. But it's iconic. Like when you reach him, it's like, wow.
This is I guess maybe that's what I meant. Like the intro to... The build up to him, you know, because it's like it's nothing but darkness, and then at the very center is this weird like island, and you see something moving. I don't know, like they didn't really do that usually with the bosses at Ocarina of Time. Like they just drop down, show their name, and then you're fighting, you know. Like to me it felt like there was a very theatrical build up.
I agree that it was very theatrical. The setting was so surreal. Like, yeah, that island and the infinity room, like, there's just water and light in all directions. In the middle of it, one figure of darkness.
Good stuff. So, yeah, Streets of Rage 2.
Cool.
So much better than Final Fight.
Yes.
So much better.
This past weekend was a holiday weekend. I had a couple family members up to my house. My sister and my mom. Shout out to them. I think they're watching right now. Here it is. And I got to play some GameCube with my sister, specifically Kirby's Air Ride, which is a delightful, wonderful gem of a game if you've never played it.
Nice.
It's kind of like the anti-racing game racing game. For anyone who's never played it, you don't press a button to accelerate.
Yeah, you're always moving.
Yeah, you're always moving. Oh. You actually hold the A button down. It's like a rail racer? No, you can maneuver. I mean, that's not... Yeah. But...
Silly Jason.
I'm a dork who really likes the city trial mode. And just the mini games and the different vehicles and how crazy different stuff they have. I also played some Smash Brothers Melee, but that was mostly just alone. So, it was a GameCube kind of weekend.
Cool. Shouldn't all weekends be a GameCube kind of weekend?
Maybe. Although, okay. This might be blasphemous, but in the interest of full disclosure, I'm just going to knock my credibility down another notch by saying I should let you guys know it wasn't a GameCube. It was a Wii weekend. I used the Wii to play GameCube. I know. At least I used GameCube controllers.
Yeah, that's all right. It's the same thing.
For stuff. Yeah.
I mean, that's not really.
It's two GameCubes duct taped together.
Just duct taped together. Yeah,
that's why it's called a Wii. There's two of us now.
The Wii.
Thank you for that, Hunter. That was
That was like Nintendo taping GameCubes together.
Thank you.
It's just all those GameCubes they didn't sell. It's just some guy in a factory.
Just one guy, one Japanese guy.
Yeah, just
begging for breaks, a pay raise, and more duct tape. Yeah.
Okay, speaking of duct tape, we got like a half dozen new listener email discussion questions. So thank you, listeners, for faithfully sending in questions whenever we demand them. That's fantastically cult-like of you. But I'm actually going to, this week, use a question that was submitted as a live stream comment last week. So hopefully it's a good enough material for this full segment. We'll see. Jonathan Chapman wrote in with this, sent this question in email, not sure if it made it. What's your opinion on modding existing retro consoles or just waiting for Retron 5 and other methods of playing cartridges?
No.
No. So your opinion of the Retron 5 is no. Am I hearing you correctly on that, Hunter?
No.
Okay. How about modding your existing consoles?
No.
Clipping those lockout chips, paint jobs, different colored LEDs?
Nah.
No, okay. So Hunter is going to be extremely on the side of advocating the original authentic model. Jason, counterpoint.
If you're going to go to the point where you're using other hardware to play the game, why wouldn't you just use an emulator?
Well, see, that's the thing, is like the Retron 5, that's exactly what it is. It's an emulator.
It's just an emulator. It's just put in a box.
Right. That's one of the reasons why these, I don't even know what the correct term for these consoles is, but the multi-cart console, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Go for it.
They have so many issues with their compatibility list is because that's all it is. It's just an emulator. Yeah.
We have Lonnie Honeycutt popping in on the live stream. He has a follow-up question. He says, if the experience is the same, who cares?
I don't.
See, that's the thing, though, is it's not. It's not the same. It will never be the same. You know, like,
But it's not, like, drastically different. It's not like, oh, my God.
No.
Mario no longer jumps with an A.
Well, no, but somebody who is a veteran retro gamer who is used to pixel-perfect jumps and you know, certain timed events to play through, you're not going to get that because the clocks aren't going to be set the same. The graphics are going to be rendered differently. It's never going to be the same experience. What the hell are you drinking, Bailey?
It's strawberry kiwi. So good.
Nice.
Strawberry kiwi juice box, flavored, whatever. I see where this is going. We are reaching an inevitable conclusion where we realize that in any hobby, there's a spectrum of introductory versus super into it level people. And you can make the same case either way. For example, for the sake of spreading the gospel, so to speak, yeah, same experience, great. If some kid is going to be exposed to Super Mario Brothers for the first time and he's going to fall in love with it, I don't care if she's playing it on an emulator or an NES, whatever. But you get the same can be said for some cars. This is the example I'm going to use, cars. I personally, not a huge gearhead. I'm not a big car guy. I want my vehicle to reliably take me from point A to point B. But I totally respect that if you're really into cars, you are going to care about how the gear shift differential feels and how the traction is and the width of your this and... I mean, there's an experiential element to it. How much do you care about the little differences? How much do you notice them? At first, you won't even. But someone like Hunter will.
I find it really, I'll use the word fascinating. This seems to be something exclusive to console gamers. Like, I've yet to hear of a retro PC gamer who needs to find an old, like, you know, Pentium 286 and IBM keyboard and CRT monitor and right.
But do you see how in like
I'm doing it the right way.
I'm gonna throw cars out there again. There's people who love classic cars.
I understand that.
I mean it may be exclusive within gaming to console gamers, but within enjoying stuff in life, some people like the older things.
Fair enough.
But no, you're making an interesting distinction though. Among gamers, why is it just console? Like,
yeah, well, it seems to be specifically console gamers.
Yeah, we're pretty cool like that.
You crazy kids.
I think it might come down to the point of, as a PC gamer, like, you were always upgrading your hardware. Like, every chance you could get, for the most part, anyway.
Yeah, no, that would make sense.
But with a console gamer, it's like you had to wait for somebody else to do it for you. You know, so you get tied to these hardware consoles. Go ahead, Bailey.
Well, I was just going to say, I think, and if you're a PC gamer, and let's be honest, you're a member of the master race. You've grown up in a culture that stigmatizes the other races. I mean, through your eyes, console gamers have had a yellow star on them and been shoved into ovens. I mean, why should you even care about them?
Oh, they're my God, what is going on here?
That's how PC gamers view.
Listen, just because.
Wow. That's.
You're.
It's too much, man.
Was it? Did I cross the line there? Did I?
Perhaps. Yeah.
I tell you what, though, it hit home.
Yeah.
It hit home. I will say this, though. I am excited for the Retron 5. Like, I'm going to get one.
What?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. Hey, well, like, I think it's
so
cool.
Multi-compatible. It's convenient. I mean,
it's got HDMI out.
Every Retron that's come out before, I haven't been excited for. It's like, oh, it can play NES and Super Nintendo. Who gives a crap? But this one can play 7 different cartridges. I mean, multi-region. I think it's cool. It's just a neat little device. Even if, Jason, yes, it's just an emulator box. Whatever. It's
an emulator.
Cool emulator
I got a computer
box.
That
fine.
Does that.
Okay,
my
cool.
Phone
well,
can
computers
do that.
Computers are cool. Phones are cool. Whatever. You know, it's another one of those.
It's another one of those.
It's another thing. Things are neat. That's my profound thought of the night. Things are cool. Things are fun. Things are pretty.
Yep. Yep. That they are. That they
you
are.
You are. You're pretty.
Whoa. I'm Jason. Married.
Doesn't change a thing. I don't care.
It doesn't change how damn pretty you are.
I don't care. It's
a pop gun. Oh, me neither. Oh, I'm going to touch me a Canadian.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So, first time. So gonna. That's what
touch
I should have done.
Touch for
did.
The baby first time.
No. No way.
That's what you should have done, Hunter? That's what you should have done?
No, no.
Touch
I was
the Canadian?
Thinking of something else. Sorry.
Of course you were.
Sorry. What do you mean, of course I was? What's that supposed to mean?
You didn't hear that. What are you talking about?
Oh, what's
about?
Hunter doing? He's doing his own thing.
He's thinking about something else.
I can't help it, man. My mind moves too quick. I'm still thinking about Streets of Rage 2.
Well, so it's moving good. Slowly. You're still stuck there.
I will say this, Jason.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously now with computers and emulators and stuff, everything is very point and click, and it's a whole lot simpler than it used to be, say, what, 6, 7 years ago, maybe? But there are still a lot of people who don't have, you know, cause I, you know, tablets have become so popular. Like, I don't know about you, but I can't even fathom that you would be okay with playing a console game through an emulator with a touch control tablet. Right. Can we bridge there?
I don't think he even
true.
Understands your question.
Sure.
No, he's saying that, playing a game with a touch control is not the same experience as paying it with a controller.
Right. So
that's correct.
What this Retron 5 can do for those people is give you a dedicated piece of hardware that you can play these old games on with a controller at a very low cost. And if anything, it's just going to beef up the retro community, which I think we all win in that instance.
I'm gonna say a counterpoint. I bought this little dongle. Cost me $3.
Keep your dongle in your pants.
You and your tiny dongle.
Goes from the micro USB to full USB, so I can actually plug a 360 controller into my phone or tablet.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
Play games that way. I've done it with my tablet on trips. It's great.
It's actually not a bad idea.
That's pretty good.
Hmm. Well, let's just say I've been playing so many GameCube games lately, I've experienced burnout.
Was it an experience?
Yeah, that was good. It was fun.
Good.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah, milk. Buy it in a bag. Drink it up. Good for you.
Gross.
Does a body good. Good for your bones.
Mm.
Bones in a bag.
Who submitted that question?
What?
Who submitted that
Jonathan
question?
Oh, Jonathan Chapman.
Oh.
Yeah. I think. Let me double check and make sure I'm remembering that right. Did I actually remember that correctly? Holy crap, I got it right. Jonathan Chapman.
I was going to say, he's not here. So.
What? Okay, screw it. No more live stream comments counting as our listener email discussion. If you're not even going to be here to hear us. Thanks, Jonathan, for writing it. I appreciate it.
We do appreciate it.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we like participation in community.
Yep.
Sounds like Hunter's ready for a music break.
We'll be right back.
we're back. That was Hoovering with a Hangover by TDK, another Name Your Own Price chiptune track. And we've had some legitimately quality stuff lately, so thanks to those who have been spreading the word to get chiptune artists some exposure here. Please continue the great work. I also like this track because it features some of that bloopy rapid reverb effect that Codemasters and LJN used to use in their NES games. So that's nice. Speaking of that's nice, it's time for the nicest part of our show, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, this is the part of our show where each of us will secretly... Well, no, sorry. No. No, no.
What?
We have secretly chosen an old video game, but we will reveal it to each other. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, and then we're going to spend the rest of our show arguing about who picked the best retro game fitting the theme. The best part, though, is that you, the listener viewer, get to vote for your favorite on a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. So we encourage votes, comments, heated discussion, whatever you want to do. 2 episodes ago, the theme was games with a sky level, and the winner was me with Wop'em on the NES in episode 83. I beat Kirby's Dream Land and Mario Party.
Wow.
Wow. The reign of Jason Lamb is officially
what
over.
The hell?
You had a 1 episode absence because Joe Walker won when he was a special guest, but no. No, your streak is broken, Undertaker. It's done. It's gone.
What the hell?
You just got Lesnar'd. Yeah, I feel so good right now. I kind of just want to end the episode on a high note and go home.
You're already home.
I am so... Thank you, viewers. Thank you, listeners. Thanks for your votes. Winning feels pretty darn good. It's nice to finally... know what Jason Lamb gets to feel like, you know?
Every day of the week.
All the time. He's just in constant winning mode. Yeah. Champion of champions. Tonight's theme is Game You Wish Had a Sequel. So each of our games chosen tonight never really got a sequel, and that sucks in our opinion. So there you have it. That's the theme. And traditionally, I assume we're not going to break tradition tonight, maybe someday, but Jason is our timekeeper for our one-minute introductions, and I suppose I'm ready to go first.
Well, then you may begin.
This game came out in 1995. Such a good year. Such a good year to be a kid. The game was put out for the Sega Genesis. It was actually developed by the Sonic team, which is kind of the analog to Nintendo's Research and Development 1 or 2 teams. But the point is, it's a wonderful, delightful, whimsical, side-scrolling two-dimensional platformer called Ristar. Ristar is fantastic. It's colorful. The music, evocative, unforgettable. The game is based around the premise of a great hero being captured, and his son, Ristar, must go rescue him. He travels the galaxy across entire planets in these engrossing atmospheres and settings. And how does he kill his foes? By grabbing them and bashing his face into them. He grabs everything. It's Ristar. It's great. It'll grip you.
Ristar. All right, Hunter.
Hey.
Do you think you can top Ristar?
Yeah, are you kidding me?
Yeah. You may begin.
Inline skating. Pretty lame, right? Or is it? Maybe, just maybe, if you are inline skating down wondrous pixelated mountains created by the one and only Electronic Arts for the one and only Sega Genesis. Race your friends, a timer, or just for fun while grabbing on the back or skitch cars to make it to the finish line. Only in skitching. Released in 1993, can you achieve such dreams? World peace? Unlimited health? No. Just skitching for the Sega Genesis.
Well, the only part of that I heard was the first 3 seconds, a little gobbledygook in the middle, and then Skitchen for the Sega Dreamcast.
That's all you need, brother.
All right.
That's what I say. Skitchen. I think that might be all he was trying to convey anyway. EA, Sega Genesis, Skitchen is inline skating lane. Yes. Done. Got it. Check.
Wow. All right. I guess I'll begin. Do you like monsters? Do you like mail order monsters? Then you'll definitely love Mail Order Monsters for the Commodore 64. Released in 1985 and published by Electronic Arts, this game was somewhat like Pokemon. But instead of catching the monsters to do battle, in this game you actually built them. Choosing a framework for your monster, everything from a man to a snake to a pterodactyl, you would then equip them with skills and weapons. Battling various monsters, you could upgrade things and pay to increase their skills as you continued on fighting things. Monsters were saved to the floppy diskette, which was fantastic at the time. So you could continue fighting these monsters on and on. That's a mail order monsters for the Commodore 64.
I feel a streak coming on because I got this one, guys. Your game suck. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great game.
In it's fact, just a side-scrolling star.
Which is wonderful. Ugh. I mean, he's literally a star. He's not just like a figurative like star of his own game. He like is a star. A shining star. Grabbing stuff and bashing his face into it. Wonderful premise. So fun. I have to like beat it every year or I feel a strange gap in my soul.
I'm looking at it.
Maybe that's not a real perk, but
is it supposed to look exactly like Sonic?
Actually, yes, kinda, because during development, Sega was kinda thinking Ristar would be Sega's main mascot, not Sonic the Hedgehog. So it's gonna look extremely similar, but you're probably also looking on the first planet, which is very similar to the first world in Sonic. Look at the later planets, and they're extremely much more distinctive and unique. Really cool themes. And yeah, like the music planet, Sonata. So wonderful.
Ristar.
Yeah. Did you both pick an EA game?
Yeah.
Need I say more?
Well, you bought the freaking Sega game.
Yeah.
What's wrong with EA? Sonic is EA bad?
What's wrong with EA? Well, let's see. They have this tendency to include microtransactions in their game. Jason mentioned them in his. You have to pay for these little skills and equipment.
Yeah, battle monsters,
you
cash.
And your microtransactions.
Well,
bah.
I'm sorry.
Humbug.
You brought a game by a developer known for taking a massive nosedive in quality. The Sonic team?
Hey, at least they didn't
good
dive
job, guys.
Until after Ristar.
You've done great this last 20 years.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, was EA really that bad back in 93?
Yeah.
Sure.
No, I don't think so.
No, they weren't bad in 85.
Yeah, your game is so old. I love it.
I don't understand this game, Jason.
Mail order monsters.
Yeah, well, it's
like
so
I'm watching it.
Why is it not about robots? Robots, it makes sense to build them part by part. Like when you say monsters and they're like creatures, and you talk about, you know, choosing a framework. They don't have a frame. Shouldn't it be choosing a fleshwork?
You have the. Well, I guess so. Framework makes it easier to understand, but you can be like, here, I'm gonna pick my lion bear. Half bear, half lion.
Of course.
Of course.
Lion bear pig.
I'm then gonna tweak his armor, muscle, speed, mind, and life.
His armor muscle? They have an armor muscle? Come on.
Armor muscle. Armor and muscle. Okay, then I'm going to give him, you know, healing or teleport. Maybe I'll have fangs. And,
but see, that's the problem with games like this back in this time. Like, those are just numbers. They don't really mean anything.
No, but then I can give him a sword or a missile, a grab gun, an e-mace.
Okay,
I can give him a flamer.
So they are robots. They are robots.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, they're
I can give him a psi helm or a jetpack or a hot dog.
What?
And then I throw him in a pit. He fights another monster. I say good job and give him some more life. He does it all over again.
Does it?
Imagine this game now as a sequel, yeah, where you combine the creature creation of Spore with this.
How
I was like, where's he going with this? What is he going to say?
Nowhere. And the answer was nowhere. So
nowhere.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Jason, I will admit the premise of your game, the concept, the idea, sounds great. I would really dig that kind of game. But as Hunter has pointed out, the actual execution leaves much to be desired. It is just kind of a numbers sim. It's a behind the curtain kind of game.
No,
it's,
you control the monsters in real time.
But the battles are decided by pitting their statistical inequalities.
That's like Pokemon. Right? Pokemon's the same.
Sort of.
It's a numbers game.
Ooh,
well,
that,
no.
That might be a fair
point. It's Pikachu's numbers against a Ekans' numbers.
Okay. So how many monsters can you collect in your game?
Collect or build?
Have at one time. Available to choose from.
Like individual unique monsters?
Yeah.
All right. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, you're going to do the exponential math, aren't you? You're going to do the orders of magnitude crap.
See, is Rystar even really a star? Or is he just some dude wearing a black unitard with a mask?
Well, that's his body. He's black. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, a black unitard.
You don't need to go there. No,
he's got the Mickey Mouse gloves and...
Yeah, and he wears gloves, you know. When you're grabbing everything, you have to take precautions.
It is kind of weird that he smashes everything in his face.
I love it! I love it! He just grabs it and boom!
It's kind of disturbing.
Oh, that's great.
Like, I haven't played this game in years. I don't know what that was. And I think an argument could be made that the Game Gear version is actually the sequel.
No.
Because it has, similar themes, there are different level design and gameplay mechanics. I mean, what else is a sequel than level design and gameplay mechanics?
Okay, Hunter. Number one, it's not Rystar 2. Number two, we agreed last week discussing the theme idea that ports and conversions and the same game title and different systems don't count. And number three, I just said the word no like 8 times in a row, which completely negates your argument.
I understand that we agreed that it wouldn't be conversions. That's not a conversion, though. That's a complete remake of a game.
No. Okay, remake is still not a sequel.
Okay, so could we also agree that a remake could also be titled as a 2.0? Because that would make it a sequel.
Let's just
agree that Rystar sucks.
It's a lot of fun.
Yep, see?
Even you take that back.
That's kind of strange.
No, I can't. Like, this is one of the Sega games that I really enjoyed as a kid, so I have to...
I enjoy it as a mature, responsible...
If the 8-year-old in me came back and beat he could beat my ass, so I don't want to...
As a game that deserves a sequel, though, is there anything that differentiates Rystar from any of the other endless side-scrolling games?
No, it's a mind-numbing side-scrolling platforming beat-em-up game.
Like, you're just a star on this one.
No, yeah, you grab stuff and bash your face into it. There's other...
Yeah, but that doesn't add anything
like
to the game.
Bonk did that.
Okay, no, but yes, it does. And, okay, there's these handles that hang in various spots. You can grab it and then spin around it, and then you become a shooting star. And you're, like, flying everywhere. It's like supersonic. You could fly, which you
Okay, here's a good example.
There's a robot-themed factory level where you have this crystal thing. You can bring it with you.
Wait, there's robot theme levels as well?
Well, yeah.
So it is Sonic.
Yeah, it's Sonic, but instead of rolling into stuff, you bash it with your face.
So they've ripped off Bonk from the TurboGrafx.
Kinda, yeah.
Jesus.
It's like a futuristic Bonk in space, man. Woo! What a trip.
No, here's a better example.
Sounds awful.
Ah, wonderful.
Here's a better example. Let's talk about Skitchen.
Skitchen?
We don't need to talk about Skitchen.
Skitchen,
who gives a flying...
was made on the same engine as Road Rash. But they
I was
made,
just going to say, it looks like Road Rash.
Yeah, it's same engine, but they made vast improvements on the engine to make it a brand new game, unlike Rhinestar, which is just Sonic.
Have you played Sonic and then Rhinestar is a much more slowed down version of Sonic, okay? You really get to tiptoe through the tulips, stop and smell the roses, and experience the delightful settings in a pace that pleases you to the utmost extent.
That's like saying that Super Mario Brothers is a slowed down version of Sonic.
Yeah, and is not.
Or
Super
Sonic
Mario
is a
Brothers
faster
awesome.
Version of Mario Brothers.
Come on, man.
Exactly.
That's
speed is a thing that affects stuff.
So if I'm going to play a slowed down version of Sonic, why don't I play Mario instead of Rhinestar or Rhinestar?
You could if you want. They're two different flavors of a wonderful genre. Go ahead.
Ugh. All right. Rhinestar
on the same plateau as Super
Mario. Rhinestar is like on the same level as Bugsy.
No!
Yeah. It's pretty bad, man.
Yeah.
Hunter, you're
it does not need a
retro
sequel.
Game love and heart by saying
it doesn't. Now, Skitchen, on the other hand, does need a sequel. Name one other inline skating video game.
That's true.
I can name two
for good reason.
On the NES alone. One of which is explicitly called Rollerblade Racer.
That's a beat 'em up game.
Other
it's not
one
a racing
is
game.
Roller. Oh, would you stop?
I'm not. What it is? It's a beat 'em up.
Well, okay. Roller games.
Why?
I think you're thinking of roller games is the beat 'em up. Rollerblade Racer actually is kind of a racing game.
Okay, maybe I am thinking of the other one.
Okay.
You're thinking
Sorry. Hunter.
It's by Konami Ultra.
Skitchen. I understand it's a Road Rash engine.
Yes.
And it's
painfully
it's a Road
the Rash
same
clone.
As. Yeah, it's painfully the same as Road Rash to the point where they didn't bother removing the camera at the bottom that's supposed to be the rear view mirror in Road Rash. So somehow your inline skater can magically see behind him.
Yeah.
At all times.
Just turn around.
But he's not turned around. I can see it at any time.
I know, but like you can... It's like an over-the-shoulder thing.
Oh.
I don't see what the problem is.
It's that... I'd rather see a new Road Rash before I saw another Skitchen.
I would rather
watch me too,
Jason
but I mean...
eat one of his family members in order to survive. And play
Jason, do you realize that Skitchen takes place, the first couple of levels are in Canada?
Don't try to appeal to his patriotic...
I'm just saying. It's a fact.
It's a cheap, low-down move.
Yeah.
It's a fact. I mean, I could have brought the... what's those little razor boards or whatever they're called? What was that game called?
What?
The music's good.
What?
Came out for the PlayStation, like the razor...
Oh, yeah.
Scooter things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could have brought that.
Could have, but you didn't.
But you can hang on to cars and stuff. Like, it's so cool.
So
but there's no
like
reason. You skate faster than the cars. That's the thing. It doesn't make sense. Why hang on to them?
You're not, actually. The cars just fly right by you.
They
and
don't.
You
I
don't
see a guy
skitch,
on a car.
You will not
He punches
win
another
the
guy
game.
Off the car. And then he skates ahead of the car.
Well, yeah. It's called the transformation of momentum. Come on, Jason. Don't you know your physics?
He's still skating faster than cars.
At my old job, I had a computer that became infested with a virus so vile that they not only removed the hard drive, but they let me keep it as a trophy. This is a dead hard drive possessed by a digital demon. And
is it a virus called Skitchen?
It has more character than Skitchen.
That's not true at all, and you know it.
It's,
that's like
it's
five times
true.
The character of Rhinestar.
Oh, what?
Wow.
Okay.
Rhinestar truly looks
I guess
average.
I'm done here.
And I don't know about you guys, but I can remember countless occasions where I wish I had a lead pipe or a chain to whip the person in the car next to me.
That's what I mean, though. It's
and
it's
how
road
cool
rash,
would it
even
be,
the weapons.
Would it be? How cool would it be with inline skates? I mean, come on, man.
Not okay, dangerous.
There's jumps. They got ramps set up on the road from construction that you can ramp. I mean, come on.
Let's see. Rhinestar doesn't even need a lead pipe. He has a face.
I'm telling you, man. Like, this is a rogue shy guy. That's all Rhinestar is a rogue
I'm okay
shy
with
guy.
That. Call the game Rogue Shy Guy. It just...
It's just the weirdest thing.
Appeal in my mind.
Your games just aren't as good as Mail Order Monsters.
Your game doesn't even make any sense.
You can't be a brontosaurus that has a jetpack and fangs.
None of that makes sense.
You can't be a jet brontosaurus with fangs.
Okay, Jason, fine. You want to talk about your game? I'm going to tell you what the problem with your game is. It's too ambitious. You're trying to get
That's why it needs a sequel.
Here's the thing. Okay, that's a fair point. But the actual game itself, which the merits on which we're voting on, it takes this idea that, okay, whatever you can imagine, you can build. But there has to be necessary limits because of its programming.
Right.
So if I wanted to create these representations of creatures I have in mind with all these customizable little doodads and options and add-ons, I would draw them, or I would write about them, or I would build them with Legos. I would use media that gives me the complete freedom to implement whatever features I could possibly imagine, rather than restrict myself to the necessary framework of a programmed environment.
Listen, you're just mad because this is Base Wars meets Pokemon.
Oh, that's such a cool description. I hate you.
It is a little bit, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Needs a sequel.
I want to play it so badly now. You suck. Dang it.
But see, I'm sure there are a handful of games that borderline this entire framework. They're just not called Mail Order Monsters 2. You know what I mean?
It's kind of a strange game name. Can we talk about the name for a second?
I think it's just a joke on the whole Mail Order Bride. Like,
but it doesn't work because I don't want to marry the monsters.
Or do you?
Well, that's the thing. If you're the kind of player who's creating a monster for the purpose of marrying it, you're a creepo.
There you go.
Jason.
What?
I'm just calling you a creep.
Yeah.
You know, it is interesting because he brought the, when we did the Universal Monster thing, he kept going on about how you wanted to see somebody dunk over Frankenstein and the Wolfman and...
Jason,
is it maybe this is
a monster fetish?
It could be.
Well, I freaking love monsters.
Yep.
You know how excited I am for Godzilla and the fact they're making another Jurassic Park?
Oh, this
if you were like any other normal human being, the answer would be
yes.
No.
Oh, God, I'm so excited.
Possibly even hell no.
Jurassic Park, Godzilla, and a bunch of superhero movies are coming out.
Correction, Jurassic
It's like
World.
9-year-old me just died and went
I
to
know.
Some figurative
heaven. We can agree on that, Jason. This summer movie season is going to be great.
Nope.
Yeah, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes sequel.
Ugh.
Can we talk about
on.
That?
Oh,
fantastic. I'm so excited. Oh! I saw the trailer for the first time today. Oh, I'm just going to, like, groan incomprehensibly for a second here. Excuse me. Oh!
Jeez.
Now I'm definitely excited for Indie 5 Con.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Nope. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Final arguments. Final arguments. Hunter, why should anyone vote for a game so lame and one-dimensional?
You should vote for Skitchen because, one, it is a genre that has never been touched until Skitchen for the Sega Genesis. Or you could pick a watered down Sonic clone, or you could pick a by the numbers RPG for the C64. I mean, to me, the choice is pretty obvious, but Skitchen.
And
riding
Jason.
On cars.
Jason, final argument. Why should anyone vote for the game that holds the all-time record for the most skewed, mismatched ratio between coolness of the concept and poorness of the implementation?
It is Pokemon meets Space Wars, and it would be the most fantastic game if it got a sequel.
Wait, so is it basically like Pokemon playing baseball?
Make it so.
Make it so.
You could.
What are we, Jean-Luc Picard?
Maybe.
Okay. Whatever. Weird. You should vote for Ristar because it's the best game of the three. It has a character that is irresistible. It's fun. And if they were to announce the inclusion of Ristar in the next Super Smash Bros. Game, I would buy it even if I didn't own the system it was on.
Why?
Because
you know what Ristar is in?
I have such sentimental attachment to Ristar.
There's too many characters to begin with. We were just talking
about
that.
They're going to remove half of them. Don't worry about it. Nintendo's got this. Just chill. It's okay.
Yeah.
You should play Sonic All-Stars Racing Transform, because Ristar is the guy who waves the flag at the beginning.
That is true.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes, he's been demoted to
flag waver.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy for him. He gets
wow.
some fear in something. I mean, let's be honest.
He nothing. Doesn't know who you are, Bailey.
But
just so you know.
He is.
All those sure fan letters you keep sending to him, he's not answering them.
And that's our show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Yeah, send in any listener email discussion questions to podcast@onemorecastle.com. Reminder, we are going to be at Indie PopCon. All three of us in the same room. We're hoping not to kill each other. It's an event in Indianapolis, Indiana. It takes place May 30th through June 1st. If you haven't been to a convention, you should try going to one, because they're super fun, geek-friendly gatherings in general. Typically, if you don't know, our podcast recording live stream video event broadcasts 7:30 p.m. Central Time Thursday evenings. I want to shout out to the live stream viewers that also commented. Jonathan Haley, awesome Roblox gaming AD. What a name. Valerie Minnick, Captain Knucklehead, Dustin Faber, who had to depart prematurely. Lonnie Honeycutt, thanks for joining us tonight. Brent, good to see you. Eve didn't comment. Whoever else viewed but didn't comment, thanks for joining. A special shout out from me tonight goes to Tom Hall, also known as Ocarina of Tom, especially on Twitter, who recently explained in an interview that soy milk is not actually soy milk. It is soy juice, because soybeans don't have nipples.
Good times.
Tom Hall.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I salute you.
Yes. Tom Hall.
Hunter, how about you? Any reminders, shout-outs, plugs, personal hygiene tips?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is I Am Eric M. For a personal hygiene tip, pick one day in the week where you do not shower. Also known as No Shower Thursdays.
So glad you reserved that just for us. Jason, what do you have to say for yourself, you filthy man?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'm going to give a shout out to Monsters Everywhere.
What are you, Lady Gaga?
I was just going to say.
Hey, it's a reference I don't get.
Woo!
Woo! Aren't those
yes! Right?
My favorite is when someone uses a reference, you don't get it, then later you realize you didn't get it. Super quick story about that. A group of friends of mine watched the movie Gladiator before I had seen it, and one of them approached me. I'm going to butcher the story. I just realized that it's so long. But he said to me a phrase they used in the film, which is something like, what is it? It's like strength and courage or something like that. It's just two words. It's a character trait. So he said it to me. I don't realize he's quoting a movie. I just come right back. I say, courage and perseverance. And he laughs at me. I'm like, why is he laughing? And he says something equally ridiculous. Later realizing he just watched Gladiator, which is the same movie. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Nintendo_legend. My blog is NintendoLegend.com. I really want to update it again soon. Slowly but surely writing a quality review for every North American release NES game. I'm talking really fast right now.
Don't call me Shirley.
Okay, Bob. And last but not least, listeners, dear listeners, please remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!